Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen. Counting down what America's talking about. Talk Radio
Countdown. Mitt Romney really gets it. He understands it. Aside from another big fact is that he's the guy that can win the election. There's nobody else out there that's going to win the election. He's the one guy in the Republican group that we're watching that's going to win. I believe he's going to beat Obama. I believe that fuel prices are going to really lead to that victory because, you know, Obama has got absolutely no clue as to energy or fuel and fuel prices. And I really think that when gasoline hits $5, which it's almost there now, and $6 and maybe even $7 a gallon, I really believe the Republican candidate's going to win. But I think by far Mitt Romney has the best chance of beating Obama.
There's Donald Trump in a talk radio interview explaining why he thinks Mitt Romney better get the Republican nomination. That's how we get started this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen with an overview of the left and the right. Start with talk host Gary Allen Kelly. With Mitt Romney on his program, they talk about why he seems Romney, to have had so much trouble getting support in Michigan.
I heard the head of the Michigan Democratic Party say, hometown guy, name recognition, this should be a slam dunk for Mitt Romney. Yet it's not. Poll after poll shows pretty much a dead heat between you and Senator Santorum. Why do you think you haven't run away with this yet?
You know, I'm delighted that despite the fact that I think I was, 15 points behind 8 days ago, now it shows me either slightly in the lead or tied. We're making great progress here. And, you know, that's the nature of a campaign. You've got to get out and talk about the things you believe in and hopefully get the kind of support that that's needed. But look, I recognize, you know, fighting for a position on the top of the Republican ticket is going to be an uphill climb. And I'm just pleased that people recognize that I'm from Michigan originally. That I care very deeply about the state.
Saying that the auto industry bailout was a mistake raised an awful lot of eyebrows here in Michigan. Governor, what say you to that?
Well, we go back to 2008 when I laid out the what I thought needed to happen in the industry. My view was that to save the industry, rather than Washington writing checks, which is what the auto executives were asking for, that the companies needed to go through a managed bankruptcy, and then the government could provide guarantees and help to get them out of bankruptcy. That was the course I laid out, and of course, the UAW and the companies and even the Obama folks didn't want to go through that bankruptcy. Well, you know what? They finally realized I was right, and they finally took the companies to a managed bankruptcy and then helped them get out. So I'm glad that the outcome was that the industry got restructured through bankruptcy and is now on its feet.
As you drive around the state, Governor, look at the price of gas in this state, not just here, but everywhere. Yesterday, the president was on TV saying, Republicans getting ready with that drill, baby, drill business. What will you do to bring gas prices down?
Well, you know, the president had perhaps the easiest decision of a presidency I've ever seen, which is the question of whether or not to bring in oil from Canada and through the Keystone Pipeline. And he said no. I simply cannot imagine a president who salutes the extreme environmentalist to the extent he does. Of course we should bring in oil from Canada. We should drill oil in our own country, drill for natural gas, take advantage of natural gas in transportation as well as in energy or in electric production. And this president simply has no energy policy other than solar and wind, which are just fine. But they're such a tiny share of our needs that we end up having to be completely beholden to the oil cartel. And, of course, they whip the prices around on us. This is unacceptable.
Part of the reason gas prices are so high around this country is because of the fact that Iran has the nuke. And Israel is looking at them, and there's a lot of questions about Israel. Will they or won't they attack? What would you say about that to Israel?
Well, my own view is that it's unacceptable for Iran to become a nuclear power and to develop the capacity to attack us or anyone else with nuclear weaponry, and therefore we must take whatever action is necessary to prevent that from happening. And I'm sure Israel feels the same way. I would stand by our ally in a setting like this, and make sure that we're coordinating and we're talking with each other and sharing information with one another. But Israel has every right to defend itself against the nation that says that it will obliterate them, take them off the face of the earth. I mean, that's something you simply can't listen to without saying, look, we've got to protect ourselves against something of that nature.
Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich weigh in on today's primaries in Arizona and Michigan. Next on the Countdown.
I'm Rick Osick with Famous Footwear. We're a proud sponsor of March of Dimes March for Babies. Helping babies was an easy decision for Famous Footwear. We want to take steps to help moms have healthy pregnancies and save babies' lives. We've participated in March for Babies since 2003, and we'll continue to help fight premature birth and birth defects. Join us and the 20,000 companies who are walking together for stronger, healthier babies. Start your team at marchforbabies.org.
Some nights I can't get to sleep. Some nights I can't stay asleep. With Unisom, I can do both.
Unisom sleep tabs are clinically proven to help you fall asleep 33% faster and keep you asleep longer, so you get a more restful night's sleep. Made with an ingredient not found in other leading sleep aids, Unisom sleep tabs are safe and non-habit forming. Just one pill takes the uncertainty out of bedtime, giving you the sleep you need.
So I wake up ready to go.
Unisom sleep tabs. Fall asleep faster. Sleep longer.
The war had been gone for 2 years, and I got the calling. I got the calling to join the service and support the boys over there.
Thousands of American troops have come home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, suffering the effects of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries.
I never thought that I would have PTSD. I thought that I had enough coping skills.
I don't think anybody who goes into combat could ever honestly say that they're not different when they come home.
What you take as a simple thing is not so simple for me anymore.
I'm going to have my good days and my bad days, and I really don't like those bad days.
I would say to those people that are out there, don't brush us aside and don't count us out.
Help the USO support these troops and their families. Hear more of their stories at usoinvisiblewounds.org. The wounds are invisible. The stories are real.
Facility maintenance pros, ask yourself this question. Self, does managing my facility's inventory drive me crazy? If yourself answered yes, then Grainger, the best resource for facility supplies, offers KeepStock, a service that helps take the cost out of managing your inventory. With KeepStock, you'll know exactly what you have, where to find it when you need it, and you can stop all this talking to yourself. To learn more, contact your Grainger representative or visit Grainger.com/KeepStock. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Fanbrewery. Wait, what? Franuary? That's not Franuary. No, Fanbrewery. That's right, Fanbrewery. However you say it, small businesses, this is your month to make social media work for you. Constant Contact brings you social campaigns, a new free tool that turns your fans into real paying customers. Sign up, it's free. And this month, you could win $1,000 for you and one of your fans. Visit ConstantContact.com today.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open legal residence of the U.S., U.K., Canada. Please check your email. NC 2912 rules at ConstantContact.com.
This is the Talk Radio Countdown Show. You're listening to Doug Steffen with a focus on the primaries today. A couple of states working to try to figure out who ought to be the next president, or at least the Republican candidate. Here's host Joe Donovan with Rick Santorum on his program about Santorum's stance against the auto industry bailout.
Some of the late-breaking polls now show Mitt Romney going back in front with some daylight between you two, and one analyst says that's because Romney is talking about the economy, and you, in his opinion, are spending too much time discussing social issues. Do you agree with that? What do you think?
Well, no, I don't. In fact, there's a poll out this morning that has me ahead by 2 points, and we actually were out there talking about what we're going to do to get the manufacturing sector of the economy going, to focus on energy prices, because that's key to all job creation and quality of life in America. And I have no doubt that that message is resonating across Michigan and across this country. And you know, we feel like we have a tremendous opportunity to finish very, very strongly here in Michigan, and in a state which is, you know, the backyard for Governor Romney is a real testament to the message that we have.
Senator, can you clear the air on another issue very near and dear to people here in Southeast Michigan, talking about the auto, GM, and Chrysler rescue loans of a couple of years ago? In many cases, Republicans have been very critical of what they call a bailout, yet the facts show that more than likely Ford Motor Company would also have gone down because so many suppliers would have become insolvent and Ford could have not gotten the parts. And even though the federal government still stands to not recoup billions of dollars, what would have been spent for all the, let's say, the social programs, the extended unemployment benefits, et cetera, actually is cheaper than what right now the so-called bailout price tag is. So would you not say, based on those facts, that the rescue loans were a good idea? You can argue that GM and Chrysler were too big to fail and that was wrong. That's fine. But in the real world, weren't those auto rescue loans the best possible choice, whether philosophically they might have been repugnant to you?
Well, it's not just philosophically. It's you know, what is, in fact, what does work best. And I come from southwestern Pennsylvania. Southwestern Pennsylvania was the heart of the steel industry. huge, big companies like GM and Chrysler and Bethlehem Steel. I mean, these are giants of the industrial age, and they're gone. And they're gone because government didn't commit to bail out the steel industry, and the steel industry completely remade itself. And you know what? We're producing steel in this country today. We're not producing it all in Pittsburgh or in Birmingham or in some places that it was concentrated. We're producing it all over the country. They're doing it efficiently. They're competing in the marketplace. And by the way, Pittsburgh, you know, while it went through an economic dislocation, you compare Pittsburgh to Detroit today and you look at that city and the diversification that's resulted as a result of having to go out and deal with the marketplace. Now, one of the reasons I did not support the Wall Street bailouts or any other bailout is because I believe that the best way to solve these problems is to let the market work itself out. I see it. I saw it. I lived through it. And it's difficult. It's painful. There's a lot of economic dislocation, but ultimately the market will, and people who are committed to their community and their city, these areas will rise again. And I really believe that, you know, you would have a different auto industry today, but you already do. I mean, Fiat owns Chrysler. It's not like, you know, that it is the same. It would be very different. But I have no doubt in my mind that it's better for the long term to have a precedent where the government does not involve itself in picking winners and losers in the marketplace, putting public resources at stake, and also, you know, injecting the will of the government into not just one, but a whole lot of a variety of industries in this country.
Up next, talk host Steve Gill with Newt Gingrich about Gingrich's claims that when he is president, he'll get gas prices down to $2.50 a gallon.
Newt, people may not know precisely what the unemployment rate is day to day. They may not know precisely what the latest economic figures are. But boy, they sure know what gas prices are because there are these big signs all over town telling us how high they are and how high they're going up. We're looking at $4 a gallon, maybe headed to $5 or $6. That's going to be a hot issue for the next couple of months. Will it dictate what happens in the presidential campaign?
Well, it's going to have a big impact. I've come out for an American energy plan designed to produce American oil, to drill in federal property, to drill offshore. Really taking back up something I did in 2008 when we launched a petition drive called Drill Here, Drill Now, Pay Less. And there's a speech at nuke.org where I outline an entire American energy policy. It really has several goals. One is to liberate us from the Middle East so that no American president ever again bows to a Saudi king. Another is to lower the price of gasoline to somewhere between $2 and $2.50. We actually have a hashtag 250 gas is one of our things. We're putting out bumper stickers that say nuke equals $2.50 a gallon. We really want to drive that message across the whole country. And remember, when I was speaker, it was $1.13. When Obama became president, it was $1.89. So going for 250 a gallon is not some radical, impossible idea. It just requires a commitment to American energy. If we produce that kind of energy, we keep $500 billion here at home that is currently going overseas. That creates well over a million new jobs. Remember that in North Dakota, where they are drilling on private land, the unemployment rate is 3.5%, and they have 16,000 unfilled jobs in the oil industry because the 3.5% unemployed don't have the right skills for those jobs. So you could have a real boom if we had energy here at home. Finally, if the federal government were willing to lease federal land and willing to lease offshore, it might produce enough royalties that you could virtually pay off the federal debt if you were balancing the budget and controlling spending in this process. So there are a lot of reasons to have an American energy policy. Anybody who is listening to us can go to nuke.org and see my speech. And we have a place there also for people who would like to donate one nuke gallon, which is $2.50. And we're getting a lot of folks who are donating $2.50. Just indicate, I just said the average listener, next time you fill up your tank, figure out how much Newt Gingrich would save you if that had been at $2.50 a gallon.
More on today's primaries up next on the Countdown.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increased, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original Biomat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomat can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomat comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Talk radio and talk television all abuzz today with the next set of primaries. So we go to PBS, where they have Inside Washington, and Gordon Peterson talks to political analyst Charles Krauthammer and Nina Totenberg about the unlikely alliance that seems to be forming between Mitt Romney and Ron Paul.
What's going on between Ron Paul and Romney? What's going on?
They are objectively allies, and the reason is this is not because it's a conspiracy or collusion or because people say the wives are close. It's simple. You're Ron Paul. You're 76. You are not going to be the president. You know that. But your entire objective is to build a movement and acquire legitimacy. That's what he wants to do. So his objective is not to end up with number one in delegates in Tampa, but number two. So Romney is not a guy he needs to bring down. What he needs to do is to exceed the total of the guys who are his rivals, Gingrich and Santorum. So he wants a strong Romney. He wants to be the one who emerge in Tampa as leader of the internal opposition, the guy who gets a speech in prime time and who hands over the baton to his son as the leader of a strong and a legitimate movement inside the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Let's say something about Ron Paul's ideology as well. It's a libertarian movement. And one of the things that Santorum has consistently stood for in his public talking points is that government, in fact, should do certain things about people's private lives. That is not the libertarian movement. And so I think it's, to be fair, I think it's offensive to Ron Paul's ideology. He doesn't go around saying I'm pro-choice or anything, but he was the person who said during this debate, morality is what counts. Pills aren't morality, and alluded to guns.
That
pills.
Doesn't explain why Ron Paul went so heavily against Newt, who was not a social conservative in Iowa. The most effective ad against Newt of all the ads.
You're
was
right.
The serial hypocrisy by Ron Paul. So it's not that he was.
Well, it's not one thing.
It's not ideological. It's that he wants to be number two, and that's why he goes after the other guy.
CNN's Suzanne Malveau talked to political science professor Bruce Merrill about the voter apathy that may be a particularly big problem, especially in Arizona.
People seem to be kind of apathetic here. You talk about the candidates, they don't really have a really strong sense of who they want to vote for. A lot of people are still undecided, and there's like this apathy factor here. Does that help or hurt when you look at Romney or Santorum or these other candidates?
Well, it's one reason that this race in Arizona is as close as it is. With Romney's support here, the race shouldn't be as close as it is. But I think what we're seeing with Romney here and across the country with the Republicans is that there's a first, there's not a lot of interest in the candidates because the right wing still has not connected with Romney. They don't like Romney. They didn't like McCain here in Arizona 4 years ago. And so the right wing of the Republican Party is still looking for someone that they can identify with. Romney's working very hard to make that connection. He should win Arizona, but it really gets back to your point. It depends on the turnout. The lower the turnout, the greater is the probability there could be an upset. I don't expect that. I expect Romney to win, but it's not impossible. Santorum could win if the turnout's very low.
When you talk to voters here, some of the things that really affect them, that make them very emotional, aren't necessarily the top of the list when it comes to issues and when we talk about politics and the election, because we're talking about gas prices. Mm-hmm. And there's very little these candidates can do about gas prices, but that's what people are talking about here, and they're very frustrated because they say they don't see any of these Republicans as being a viable option right now.
Well, and that's the controversy over the social issue focus of many of these candidates. In order to get the nomination, the Republican candidates have to move so far to the right that they really are talking to a very small group of Republican voters. And so the problem is once they get the nomination, whoever gets the nomination, they're going to be pretty far out of the mainstream of American politics. It still gets back, in my opinion, to the economy. Things are getting better. Obama's gone way up in the polls. But the great threat to Obama is $5, $6 gas.
Okay, enough on the GOP primaries. Let's move to Israel and Iran and find out what's going on over there conversationally in a minute on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
And now Geico presents 30 Seconds with Maxwell the Pig.
Hey, everyone. I'm Maxwell, and my life is kind of awesome because whenever Geico wants to talk about their new mobile app, they're like, hey, Maxwell, you feel like coming to the studio and talking about how the app lets you manage your policy, you know, and get roadside help and even customize it with your favorite Geico character? And I'm like, maybe. Are there going to be snacks?
Everything you love about Geico, now mobile. Download the new Geico app today.
At Quicken Loans, we provide you with state-of-the-art online tools, like our app for your smartphone, MyQL Mobile. This means that if you work with a mortgage lender other than Quicken Loans, you might be dealing with someone who doesn't use state-of-the-art online tools. Let me demonstrate. Can I upload my mortgage documents with your mobile app?
No, sorry. We don't offer mobile apps. I didn't realize appetizers were mobile.
Are you using a typewriter?
Why, yes, I am. We just upgraded from Carrier Pigeon.
So I take it you don't offer your clients the latest and greatest technology.
Who do you think I am? Quicken Loans?
Industry-leading tools like MyQL Mobile to get you through your loan process with speed and ease. One more way Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an incredible 3.875%. APR, 4.17%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or go to quickenloans.com.
Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
I'm Lou D'Ambrosio, CEO of Sears Holdings, which includes Kmart. Kmart is a proud supporter of March of Dimes, March for Babies. March for Babies gives our company an opportunity to support our families and our community. Take steps to help moms and babies at home and around the country. Join us and the 20,000 other companies who are walking together for stronger, healthier babies and start your team at marchforbabies.org.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
BePrepared.com is making deals because you need to be prepared now and you need to save. Stay tuned for a free offer from BePrepared.com. BePrepared.com is the official site of Emergency Essentials, a 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies. Everything from long-term food storage to emergency kits, water storage and filtration to alternative light and heat sources. Now the sale items. Right now through February 29th, save 15% on canned bacon, 28% on a working with wheat combo, 28% on a one-month supply of freeze-dried and dehydrated food, and more, all at BePrepared.com. Plus, order $75 or more and get a free $25 gift card by using promo code Genesis35 at checkout at BePrepared.com. Limit one per customer. This sale ends February 29th. Call 800-222-9596 and experience exceptional customer service and our low price guarantee. That's 800-222-9596. Hurry, sale ends February 29th. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to MysticStampAd.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company, serving stamp collectors since 1923. Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to MysticStampAd.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog, packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to MysticStampAd.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or MysticStampAd.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to FakeTV.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Welcome back to the Countdown. I'm Doug Steffen with our attention now to Iran. Here's Jenna Lee talking to Middle East expert Michael Singh about just how urgent the situation with Iran and the nuclear weapons program is.
The new Wall Street Journal op-ed says Iran is playing Americans for fools. It argues there is no case to be made that Iran is not pursuing a nuclear weapon, and there is no evidence that Iran's decision makers are willing to stop the nuclear program in exchange for anything, lifting the sanctions or anything else. And this op-ed piece says simply, we're just not moving to the point where we can have real conversations about what we should do about Iran. Do you think that's the case?
Well, I think the op-ed makes a very compelling case. You know, Jenna, we have these two sort of conflicting pieces of information which came out at the end of last week. One was the new UN agency report on Iran's nuclear program, which showed that despite all the sanctions, despite everything that's been done, that nuclear program continues to expand, and it's expanding at an accelerating rate. But then we had U.S. intelligence officials, echoed by policy officials, saying that, well, Iran hasn't made the decision to build a nuclear bomb. And so there certainly is this apparent gulf, which I could see would be very confusing for anyone out there trying to decide how urgent an issue is this.
So how would you put it? How urgent is it?
Well, I think, in fact, there really isn't an underlying conflict between these two positions. And you have to look at those intel judgments with a very close eye. Now, I mean, everyone has in the back of their minds the Iraq intel debacle,
right,
including those intel analysts. And so they're applying a very high bar for when they'll conclude definitively that, yes, Iran is seeking a nuclear weapon.
So when definitively mean that they have a nuclear weapon and they're testing it? I mean, that would be the ultimate definitive piece of information. And once we're at that point, aren't we too far down the road?
Well, that's absolutely right. And I think you have to look at the evidence you do have and say, well, is there any other explanation for this? Why Iran accumulates this highly enriched uranium? You know, they have no civilian use for this. Why do they engage in these weaponization tests? Why are they developing the missile capability they are? That really points to one conclusion, which is a nuclear weapons program. And frankly, Jen, it doesn't make a difference to us whether they're one screwdriver turn away from having a weapon or whether they have the weapon itself. It's really all the same.
So if it is all the same, you have the defense minister from Israel coming to Washington. Tell us a little bit about what you expect to potentially come from these meetings, and where do you think Israel is on this whole situation right now?
Well, what Israel is very concerned about, Jenna, is what they call the zone of immunity. At what point does Iran's program become essentially invulnerable to attack, so that even if they made that decision in Iran to make a nuclear weapon, there would be nothing that Israel could do about it, or nothing maybe even the United States could do about it. What the U.S. wants to tell Israel and what they'll tell Barack is that there's still time. Let's let sanctions work. And I think that the Israelis are now very skeptical about that because of this new IAEA report, which says, look, despite all the sanctions, not only is Iran continuing its nuclear program, they're not willing to even talk to the nuclear inspectors. And so there'll be a real sort of divergence of opinion here with both sides trying to convince the other.
Here from a talk radio interview, correspondent Nicholas Clayton talks about the escalating tensions between these two countries.
This is something that has been building actually over the last couple months now. The South Caucasus region is one that's very, very complex with lots of different alliances going different ways. Azerbaijan, which is on the border with Iran, they do have strong military ties to Israel and also the United States, also a huge energy provider to Europe. And so they're kind of, in some ways, a critical but vulnerable country in all of this. And immediately after there was the assassination of the key Iranian nuclear site, early in January, Iran has been hinting for a long time that Azerbaijan has something to do with it. Now they've openly accused Azerbaijan of abetting that assassination. And we've seen now, there's actually just this week, there was a new terror cell in Azerbaijan that Azerbaijani authorities say has an Iranian team planning to take out quote-unquote foreigners in the country. About a month ago, they also rounded up an Iranian team that supposedly was going to assassinate the Israeli ambassador to Azerbaijan and also attack a Jewish school. In Georgia, which has been really downplaying, when there was the blast in India, it injured several people, including the wife of a high-ranking Israeli defense official. Another device was found on the local car of a Georgian driver for the Israeli embassy in Tbilisi. So far, the Georgian government's really downplayed that, largely because they have a very complicated relationship with both Iran and the United States, and they're trying to stay neutral in this whole thing. But it is all pointing to that there, the South Caucasus has become this new kind of no man's land for security services in ways of getting at each other, and also I think it's a large battlefield for Iran if they have access to it, and in their threats of having this asymmetrical response to potential strike on Iran, they're now kind of trying to show and give these little pinpricks to both Israel and the United States, showing, you know, this is the kind of thing we can do, and there'll be a lot more of it if you push us any harder. What's interesting is that, I mean, I think it definitely stems in both Azerbaijan and Armenia, a country that depends very heavily on Iran, and so really prolonged tensions and turmoil in Iran would be very, make a lot of difficulties for Armenia. In the same way, Azerbaijan feels very vulnerable because it's had prolonged, very pointed tensions with Iran. Iran has openly said that they would attack and destroy Azerbaijan if it supported a Western intervention in Iran.
And that naturally leads us into discussions on the price you're paying for gasoline, which may be the most important thing. What are the presidential candidates saying about that, by the way? Anybody ask him any of those important gotcha questions? We'll find out.
We thought a charging rhino would be an impressive metaphor for the big deals at OfficeMax. But because our prices are small, marketing sent us a rhino the size of a chipmunk. He represents the tiny price you'll pay after saving 20% on everything you can fit in one OfficeMax shopping bag. It's a big deal, but our tiny rhino is charging the bag anyway. And he's out cold. Look for the OfficeMax shopping bag in Sunday's paper. Offer ends Saturday. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. First, she'll crawl. Then take her first baby steps. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school. I'll be watching her run down a soccer field. Staying up all night waiting for her to get home from her first date. Wincing when she steps on the gas pedal and bend the brakes. Beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma. Or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Gather your family, friends, and co-workers and join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Some nights I can't get to sleep. Some nights I can't stay asleep. With Unisom, I can do both.
Unisom sleep tabs are clinically proven to help you fall asleep 33% faster and keep you asleep longer, so you get a more restful night's sleep. Made with an ingredient not found in other leading sleep aids, Unisom sleep tabs are safe and non-habit forming. Just one pill takes the uncertainty out of bedtime, giving you the sleep you need.
So I wake up ready to go.
Unisom sleep tabs. Fall asleep faster. Sleep longer.
The war had been gone for 2 years, and I got the calling. I got the calling to join the service and support the boys over there.
Thousands of American troops have come home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, suffering the effects of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries.
I never thought that I would have PTSD. I thought that I had enough coping skills.
I don't think anybody who goes into combat could ever honestly say that they're not different when they come home.
What you take as a simple thing is not so simple for me anymore.
I'm going to have my good days and my bad days, and I really don't like those bad days.
I would say to those people that are out there, don't brush this aside and don't count us out.
Help the USO support these troops and their families. Hear more of their stories at usoinvisiblewounds.org. The wounds are invisible. The stories are real.
99.9% of the Grainger products you order are shipped the same day. And 99% of our customers think that's great. But if you're part of the 1% minority that thinks this is too fast, here are some ways you can slow us down. Talk slower on the phone. Order in a language only you understand. Have your order shipped to a houseboat, then move the houseboat. Or my personal favorite, order a trillion of something. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Talk radio in review. The rising cost of petroleum products in our country and around the world. From MSNBC, Craig Melvin talks to Congressman Ed Markey of Massachusetts, who thinks tapping the reserves would alleviate the pain we are feeling at the pump.
There are new calls from within the Democratic Party for the president to tap into the nation's strategic petroleum reserve. The national average for regular inched up to $3.70 a gallon, another new high for this time of year. Prices are now 13 cents higher than just a week ago, 35 cents higher than a year ago. It's all becoming an increasing issue in the presidential campaign as well. 20th straight day that prices have climbed, and now all of a sudden the letter. Why now?
Well, it's clear that this is not being caused by incremental growth and economic demand, but rather by speculation that's being based upon the fear that in the Middle East, in Iran, there is a looming crisis. And Iran is using this as a threat. They're engaging in saber-rattling that the oil markets are responding to. And the only way that we can deal with this fear that Iran is injecting into the oil markets is for the United States to use the strategic petroleum reserve.
Congressman, yes. Not to cut you off there, but there are many who say that tapping into the reserves is merely a short-term fix, that tapping into the reserves won't do anything to bring down gas prices considerably for an extended period of time. What's your response to that?
Well, those people don't know what they're talking about. In 1991, the first President Bush used it as part of the first war with Iraq, and the prices dropped by 33%. President Clinton used it, and the prices dropped by 16%. President Bush used it during the Katrina crisis, and the prices dropped by 10%. So whoever is saying that doesn't know what they're talking about. Every time that it's been used, we've seen an 8 to 33% drop in the price of oil, because the oil markets now realize as speculators that they're going to lose their shirts because the U.S. government is going to stand up for consumers. They're not, because our government did not allow the oil markets to tip consumers upside down and create emergencies in people's families.
Last year, many Republicans responded to President Obama's decision to sell off 30 million barrels from the oil reserves by arguing that high gas prices didn't constitute a legitimate trigger.
Look, it's an emergency for every pizza truck driver out there. It's an emergency for every person driving a truck. It's an emergency for every family that's paying these skyrocketing oil prices. It is an emergency, and the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is to the oil markets what kryptonite is to Superman. Once you deploy it, all of a sudden, it loses its power. The fear is gone, and the prices go down.
You do concede, though, that a comprehensive energy strategy, that a comprehensive energy strategy in this country is a long-term solution. You would concede that point.
I concede that point. Okay. And the Republicans, when they controlled, they actually blocked any increase in the fuel economy standards. We'd already be able to tell Saudi Arabia, we don't need your oil any more than we need your sand. But the short term is the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, because that says to the speculators, you are going to lose a lot of money if you're betting on the president, if you're betting on the United States government to stand aside and allow Iran to dictate the long-term economic growth in the country.
Here's radio host Tom Rose talking to Congressman Dan Burton of Indiana, who lays the blame for gas prices at the feet of the president.
The price of gas on January 29, 2009 was $1.85. The price of a gallon of gas yesterday was $3.70. He's doubled the price of gas. That he should take credit for, because that's worked. Just think about the irony of this, Congressman, for a second. I mean, his numbers are going up in the polls because the industry that he so hates and has worked so hard to destroy has been strong enough to fight him and produce the energy that America needs despite his best efforts.
Yeah, the thing is, people say, well, you don't want to attack the president because he's a nice guy. Well, he does have a pleasant personality. And he does come across as a nice guy, but his policies are an absolute disaster, economically, foreign policy, every other way. And, you know, I don't know if your wife has been to the store lately, and your listeners' wives, or they've been to the stores lately, but I went to buy some apples the other day. I bought four apples, and it was almost $5. I bought, I think, three or four tomatoes, it was almost $5. Gasoline, like you said, has doubled. We are in an inflationary spike for necessities in this country that is really, really disturbing. You know, when you have a cost of living going, and they say, well, inflation is not that bad. It's only at maybe 1% or 2%. Well, if you look at all the technology products, you know, the computers and the new iPhones and all those things, and you add that in, that may be true. But when you're talking about things that people need to get to and from work, to heat their houses, to buy groceries, the inflation rate right now, I'll bet you it's double digit. I'll bet it's at least 10%. If you include those things that we have to live with. And we've got to do something about that. And the first step, in my opinion, is to move toward energy independence. Because all the products that I've been talking about, apples and oranges and tomatoes, gasoline, all that goes up in price depending on the cost of transporting those things from the production site to the grocery or wherever it is. And that's the problem that we're facing right now. And I just wish the American people would see that before it's too late.
Doc Osteen Muller with Keith Johnson from the Wall Street Journal. They talk about gas prices and how they're affecting the political world and how politics affects the price of gasoline, sort of a ring around the barrel kind of thing.
Is there anything a single president or administration can do in the short term to affect gasoline prices?
No. In the short term, no. That's sort of the entire problem here, because you've got a lot of the campaign rhetoric, whether it's from Newt Gingrich or even Rick Santorum, you know, is sort of blaming the president directly for the higher gas prices, and there's just not a short-term fix you can do. Longer term, you know, over a decade or so, you can affect the prices, but nothing during this election season.
So when we hear Newt Gingrich talk about guaranteeing $2.50 a gallon gas, that's pretty much balloon juice, huh?
Well, you know, you could have $2.50 gas if you have a sustained period of time where the U.S. price of oil is in the low 60s, or the London global benchmark, is in the 80s. Of course, you know, the London price is about 124, the U.S. price is about 105. So, you know, if you can figure out a way to knock, 33% off the global price of oil, you could get back in that range, but I'm not really sure how you do that.
And there is plenty of oil off the shores of the United States to be had and drilled and fished out, but again, it would take years to get that up to a surface level. And then you've got the whole issue of refineries. I consistently hear that refineries are the big problem here in North America. We just don't have enough capacity.
Well, you know, actually the refineries have been churning out a pretty good amount of gasoline. That's actually not the biggest issue. One of the main reasons that you have higher prices, especially on the East Coast, part of the East Coast gas prices are actually set by, European crude, which is $20 a barrel higher. So that works out to higher prices. Same thing on the Pacific Coast. They have higher gas prices than in the center of the country. You know, the main problem, 80% of the price you pay at the pump is determined by the global price of oil. And there's so much tension in the world, there's so much demand, especially in Asia, that's just not going backwards. That's only going up.
Ohio and the shooting of a high school student near Cleveland, up next here on The Countdown.
These are strange days indeed, from economic turmoil to weather-related events, and yes, even power outages. Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Let me tell you why I use WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides the most affordable and complete ready-made meals for emergency preparedness and outdoor use. Their entrees like pasta Alfredo, savory stroganoff, and apple cinnamon cereal carry a 25-year shelf life and are prepared in minutes simply by adding water. They even provide great-tasting a la carte items like freeze-dried fruits, vegetables, and desserts to ensure that you have more nutrition and energy when you need it most. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample and see for yourself why they are the best in the business. For a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 1-855-FOODWISE and be sure to mention the promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Be wise and be ready with WiseFoodStorage.com.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk, soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally, instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
A lot of conversation began yesterday with that shooting at Chardon High School in Ohio. Megyn Kelly talked to Eric Shawn, who was covering the shooting for Fox News.
Federal agents are reportedly now searching a home in connection with the deadly school shootings in Chardon, Ohio. The home reportedly belongs to a relative of the alleged teen gunman. At the same time, we're also learning that one of the five victims had just started dating the gunman's ex-girlfriend. Eric Shawn has more live now from our New York newsroom with the very latest. Eric?
And Megan, one student is dead. Four others have been wounded by a fellow classmate, say police, who opened fire starting this morning in the cafeteria. Witnesses say the student even hunted down some of his victims in the school hallways before he was chased by a coach and a teacher and surrendered more than a mile away from the school. Police have so far not yet publicly identified the murder suspect, but fellow students describe him as a 17-year-old kid who they say was not popular, but is described as an outcast. That description, sadly, a familiar one when dealing with these type of school shootings. They say he even posted warnings on Twitter yesterday, one claiming, quote, "People will be hurt tomorrow," and he had disturbing messages on Facebook. Parents say the school practiced annual lockdowns, a sad legacy of the Columbine school massacre that killed a dozen students back in 1999. Well, the young student who died from his wounds this morning is identified as Danny Parmentor. He's a junior. Danny tried to hide under the table in the cafeteria as the gunman was shooting. His devastated family issued a statement today calling his killing a senseless tragedy, saying Danny was a bright boy who had a bright future, and they are, of course, torn by his loss. There will be a prayer vigil held there tomorrow. It is a crushingly sad and tragic day, Megan, after yet another school shooting in our country.
From affiliate WORD in Greenville, South Carolina, host Bob McLean talked to Steve Croce, whose daughter goes to Chardon High School and was there yesterday when the shooting took place.
Joining me via the telephone right now from
Chardon is Steve Croce, whose daughter attends Chardon High School. Steve, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Thank you for having me, Bob. I'm doing better. It was definitely a very emotional, unnerving morning. But I'm doing better now knowing my daughter's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. The parents' worst nightmare. When did you first get word, Steve, that something was wrong over at the high school this morning?
Well, one of the gentlemen that I was working with received a text that one of the radio stations in Cleveland broke a story about a shooting at the school. So we had turned that on and listened to that. So I immediately was trying to get a hold of my daughter, calling her and texting her. And especially when I found out that her first period or her first class was actually in the cafeteria.
Oh, boy.
And where the shooting took place. And of course, with her not responding, I got pretty nervous and turned around and went back home.
Sure.
But that's when I first heard about it.
Right. Yeah, as I've said, it's got to be a terrifying situation knowing that some sort of incident has happened at the school and not knowing if your child is safe. And obviously, that was your first concern. But by fate or the grace of God or whatever, your daughter fortunately was not there this morning, right?
Yeah, it was strange. She actually didn't wake up and slept in, and her phone was off, and that's why I couldn't get a hold of her. And especially when I started hearing. The other students were immediately texting their parents that they were okay, and I couldn't get a hold of her, of course.
Yeah, you must have been totally panicked at that point, huh?
Yeah, there's some pretty heavy-duty emotions that come over you as a parent.
Sure.
That's for sure.
Well, very fortunate that she just, by fortuitous circumstance, overslept this morning because, as you mentioned, your daughter is a junior at Chardon High, right?
Yes.
And I believe you said that her first class was in the cafeteria where the shooting took place?
Yeah. When I finally talked to her on the phone, she said, you know, Dad, she said, I would have been there. And she says, I know the five boys that hang out together. I know, she says, I sit right near them. She says, we all know each other. And she said, it's just really strange. And that was quite an experience for her.
Find out more about these items on the countdown page at DougStephan.com.